The passage reading is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, GCN viewing audiences and Mamin TV viewing audiences, today I'll talk about the fifth of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, kindness. Kindness is the quality or state of being kind. But the spiritual meaning of kindness is somewhat closer to mercy. And the spiritual meaning of mercy is to understand the truth, even those who cannot be understood by at all by man. It is also the heart that is able to forgive in the truth, even those who cannot be forgiven by man. God shows compassion towards mankind with this heart of mercy. Psalm 130, verse 3 says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" As written, if God had no mercy and judged us according to justice, nobody would be able to stand before God. But God forgave and accepted even those who can be neither forgiven nor accepted when justice applied strictly. In order to do that, God gave the life of His one and only Son. God wants those who have become His children by believing in the Lord to cultivate this heart of mercy. People usually say that they cannot understand a certain person even though they try to understand him, or they cannot forgive a certain person even though they try to forgive him. Sometimes you say the following. Sometimes you say like, I cannot forgive that particular person. But if we have borne the fruit of mercy in our heart, there is nothing that we cannot understand. So you should realize that you don't have the fruit of mercy. There won't be anybody we cannot forgive. We will be able to understand any kind of person with goodness and accept any kind of person with love. We would not say we like one person because of this and we don't like another person because of that. We would not dislike nor hate anybody. We would not have any bad terms with or hard feelings against anybody, not to mention any enemies. Just like a mother cares for her newborn baby, we would accept and embrace everybody. Can you all do that? Even when they have some great faults or they have committed grave sins, we will first have mercy rather than passing judgment and condemnation on them. We would hate the sins, but not the sinner. We will understand that person and try to let him live. For example, when her beloved son has committed murder and is hiding in the house, how would the mother feel? She may scold him on account of having committed such a crime, for she knows murder is a grave sin. But she wouldn't have the heart to forsake him or throw stones at him. She would not consider him to be an evil murderer. She would have pity and try to think of the ways for him to receive forgiveness. She would even want to receive the punishment in his place and open a way for him to live. Suppose your son committed murder, and if you hide him, try to cover him up, that is not spiritual love. That is fleshly love. You have to let him pay for what he has done. That is what our Father God also did. If we have spiritual mercy, we'll understand, forgive, and embrace others with this kind of heart. Suppose there is a child with very frail body who gets sick often. How would the mother feel towards this child? She wouldn't wonder why he was born like that and gives her so much difficulty. She would not hate the child because of it. She would rather have more love and compassion towards him than other children who are healthy. I watch something, this kind of thing carefully. One child is strong, but the other is not. And when I see their mother, I try to see how much she loves, which one she loves more, whether she loves the healthy one more or the frail one, the weak child more. And among the mothers, if you have a child with a mental disorder or some who has intelligence of only 3 years, even though he is already 20 years old, but still she always brings her son, and there are quite a few mothers who do that. The children, they make a lot of mistakes, and they do something that cannot be, that is something that is hard to be understood, but their mothers still love them so much, and I'm thankful for those mothers. And you heard the testimony of a mother who had such a child, a seashell. Shell, he swallowed, the child swallowed the seashell. And he's 20 years old, but he did that. But when I see her, she always loves her son with unchanging love. I said it was at the side, but people were telling me it went into the throat. Wouldn't I know that? Of course, when you eat with throat, and it goes through the, it goes into the stomach. The reason why I said it is because in that case, that's what the mother said. When the x-ray was taken, it was at the side, and that is why I also said it was at the side. It should be in the throat. But it was in the side. And it looked like a ear. So I said, and many members were telling me it went through the throat. God works according to the faith. Suppose God forsook the mother's faith, they would have had to cut the throat and take it out, but through prayer, God, let him spit it out, let him cough it up. It's such a big shell. God, let him, when she showed the faith, God, let him cough it up. I hope you will put your trust in such a God. We heard many testimonies. There are so many extraordinary testimonies. Some of the things, they're just so difficult to understand. There was one person who was injured very much this morning. She's not a very faithful believer, but he got injured and so much. And by receiving prayer, he went back to the hospital. He had the blood clot and everything, but the clot was gone. And the doctors were amazed. He wanted to be healed by prayer, not by operation. And by receiving prayer, the blood clot was just completely gone. And I see such cases so often. And if you gain faith through each of those cases, you can show your faith in any kind of situation. But those who don't have faith, they can be healed by faith. But they go to the hospital and cut open their body parts and they have reoccurrence of the same trouble. And they suffer from pains. And there are so many of them who are suffering. It's good if the treatment works fine, but in many cases, they don't work and they suffer even more. Those who have the complete fruit of the Holy Spirit will feel like this mother towards everybody, not just to certain people. Most mothers will be nice to their children. And being nice to your children doesn't mean you have mercy. You have to be nice to everybody, just the way you are nice to your children. Now let us delve into the characteristics of mercy in more detail. First, a merciful person has no prejudice. Such a person will never judge or condemn anybody just by seeing the appearances. James chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" Worldly people so often judge people by appearances. Their attitudes towards people change depending on whether or not they see them as rich and famous. God's children must not judge people with their appearances or change their attitudes of heart just because of appearances. We have to consider even very little ones better than ourselves and serve them with the heart of the Lord. Even if you think that you do not judge others according to their wealth, fame, or appearance, please check yourself once again. Do you not have any favoritism or prejudice, even spiritually? Even in department stores, they have such a prejudice. Where they sell luxurious goods or designer clothes. When somebody was going into that part, and his car was not an expensive car. And the valet, they were chasing him away. So just by seeing their car, they make the distinction by seeing their cars. And that person actually came to buy those goods, but only because the car was not so expensive. Also in the hotel, if you drive small cars or medium-sized cars, they won't pay attention to you. But if you are in a very luxurious car, then they greet you and open the door for you. That is what the worldly people are doing. In the Lord, we should never have such a thing. That is why I think people are trying to have luxurious cars. Or are you looked down upon by others? Then so what? You don't have to care about such thing. Why do you want to be treated? Why do you want to be served? You can just walk by your own feet into the hotel. So actually it is something pitiful when I see the TV dramas of some Korean kings in the past, ancient kings. From one palace to another palace, they cannot walk. They have to ride this whatever transportation for kings. They don't walk, they don't exercise so much, and they sit in the room whole day. They have to wear the heavy crown, and they have to wear the suit, and they have to wear the robe, and they have to sit in the room. And they can't sleep until late night. Even those queens and concubines. Also, they have to wear heavy clothes, and they have to wait for the king until late night. It would rather be happier if you live in the countryside. So you have to check whether you have any favoritism or prejudice, even spiritually. For example, you might feel that you cannot really have a meaningful conversation with certain people because they don't have enough spiritual understanding. Some people have some deficiencies of body, so they may speak or do some things that are out of context in certain situations. When you see those people or experienced the situation, have you felt somewhat frustrated by it? Haven't you looked down on them or wanted to avoid them to some extent, even between husband and wife? They're quite relatively newly married. Before the marriage, the husband loved the wife so much. So they loved each other so much, but after getting married, they always quarrel. They don't have good terms with each other. They also have difficulty in economic, financial difficulty. So I asked them whether it was because of finance or, but so they were saying it's because of different thoughts. They always have different opinions, different thoughts. So they have a hard time. And finally, I think they went to the court to get a divorce many times, but somehow they managed. But now they changed, and they are now having a happy family. What's the matter with having different ideas, different opinions? Because you love your spouse. You married because you love that person. And being believers, you cannot get a divorce. And your love shouldn't change. If your love changes from that moment, the happiness is broken. Your love has to increase only. And if that love changes, you become unhappy. So why do you want to try, break happiness, change their love? Your love has to increase all the time. Is it true? Haven't you made others embarrassed with your aggressive words or impolite attitudes? Also, some people talk about and condemn another person as if they were in the seat of the judge when that person is going through some trials of faith. There are quite a few of them, actually. They say, oh, that person committed a sin. But in the sight of God, God may love that person more to make him a greater instrument. He can be sanctified. God doesn't look at the present. But one person is, but a certain person is loved by God more when they commit the same kind of sin. God may just overlook that kind of sin, but if he loves that person so much, God may punish him harshly. So when he can throw away such a thing, he can become a holy person, holier and bigger vessel. In case of David, who was loved by God so much, God punished him harshly, very strictly. And those who didn't know David, who didn't know that they were mocking him, some of the ministers, they forsook David and they betrayed him. But later you can see that those who betrayed him were destroyed. And those who followed him until the end, they received blessings and went to reach the eternal life. So we cannot judge anybody seeing their present appearances. We don't have to pass judgment or condemnation. We must not be the judge. There's only one judge, God. When people brought a woman who had committed adultery before Jesus, he said, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." When you see a person who is receiving punishment before God, if you have the heart of mercy, then you ought to have compassion for him and hope that he will overcome it well. You know, in churches, especially in Korea, so many people, they don't even know me. They haven't even met me. They haven't heard my message. But they still criticize me and not even knowing me, they criticize. Second, if we are merciful, we will have compassion on those who are in difficulties and enjoy helping them. We will not feel pity in our heart for them and say, "Take heart and be strong," only with our lips. If our heart is true, we will do something to give others substantial help. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. There are quite a few who love only with word and with tongue. You say, "Oh, I love you. I have mercy." But with your deeds, there's nothing. There are many children with whom God is pleased, and I'm happy about it in our church. There is a person who helps the needy with my heart. Before it was one person, now we have two, now we have three, and there are more and more. when I cannot look around and watch every corner of the church, they are watching each corner of the church, each person with my heart. And so they help the needy and they support whatever needs to be supported. Before it was only one person, but now it's two and three. It's increasing. What is the use to say, to love only with words and tongue? We have to have the deeds. Also, James chapter 2, verses 15 and 17 says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. If you please God, God will certainly give you something, because you pleased Him. I experience such cases very often. If somebody gives me joy, I want to give so much. Once when I met with some performing team, so I asked them how they make their living, because I have to know. One person, she's living in a house where she doesn't have to pay the any guarantee, any down payment. And her husband is making some money now, but before he didn't make any, he didn't make so much money. And I wanted to help them, but people were telling me that person is helping others, even though she's not in a very rich, affluent situation. She helps others by giving, sharing side dishes, many clothes or food items or other things. Even in the Bible, we see this widow who helped others with clothes and everything. That is why Peter was so moved, so touched in his heart, and she was brought back to life. And people were telling me she shares, she's having difficulties, but she's sharing with her clothes or food or, and other things. And I was touched even more. When I hear such good deeds, my heart is moved and I want to give and help. Last Sunday, I was always harboring somebody in my heart, somebody who was faithful, and they passed away. I always... I always wonder about them, whether they are leading a good life in faith. Senior Deaconess Jeannie Kim, who sang the special praise today, explained to me that they were leading a good life in faith, and I was very happy, because I was always, I always had concerns. I don't know their two daughters. I don't know their faces very well. So I was very happy to hear that they are leading a good life in faith. They're having a financial difficulty, but so I called them to my office. Maybe for a couple of minutes I met with them, and I was very happy. their mother passed away, being faithful to God, but they are living without being so sorrowful or having so much problem. And they and the two daughters and I cried together, but I wanted to be strength to them somehow. And if you have the desire, you can help. And you can reduce what you eat to help others. If you eat, if you reduce the number of dine out, if you reduce the number of times you eat expensive meals or expensive meat or anything, things like that, you can save and help others. You don't think it's a pity that another person is starving, but you cannot really do anything because you only have just enough for yourself. You'll only have the desire all the time. You'll never do anything. You'll never help. And you have to help. You have to be helping others even when you're in need. So you can really help others well, even if you become rich. If you really feel pity with a true heart, you can give or share your portion. This is not just concerning material things. When you see somebody who is suffering from any kind of problem, you should want to be of some help and share the pain with that person. This is mercy. Especially you cannot just leave those who do not believe in the Lord and are falling into hell to fall. You will try your best to lead them to the way of salvation. Brothers and sisters, in this church, since its opening, there have been great works of God's power. But I still ask for greater power and dedicate all my life to manifest that power. Do you know the reason why? It's because I suffered from poverty myself, and I thoroughly experienced the pain of losing hope because of diseases. When I see those people who suffer from these problems, I feel their pain as my own pain, and I want to help them the very best I can. It is my desire to solve their problems and rescue them from the punishments of hell and lead them to heaven. But how can I help so many people alone? The answer I received to this is the power of God. Even though I cannot solve all the problems of poverty, diseases, and so many other things of all people, I can help them meet and experience God. That is why I am trying to manifest greater power of God so more people can meet and experience God. So whenever I meet with mission groups or parish members, I always teach the same thing. To become sanctified, going to spirit, have hope of New Jerusalem. To guide them to receive blessings both on this earth and in heaven, and to be healthy, and to go to better heavenly dwelling place. What is the use only I? What is the use if only I go to good place in heaven? I have to lead all as many members as possible, as many people as possible to good place in heaven. If they don't follow me, maybe I will even hook them up with something like cows, or I want to guide them and lead them to live by the word of God and to gain beautiful things in heaven. It's not something easy to receive God's power. Even suppose you receive the power by prayer and your life won't be easy. Your life itself will be very tiring in physical sense.
Always
You always have to harbor, have concerns about sick people, poor people. You have to pray for them. Always pray for them whenever you meet with them. Even just today, I prayed for from my residence until this lunchtime. I prayed for many people for swine flu. Not that you church members are infected. The family members of the church members, they're infected because I have to pray for all the family members so nobody else would be infected in the family. So I always, this week, next week, until the Lord comes back, I have to do it. Wherever I go. But nowadays, I'm thankful for something, that our pastors, they pray with the handkerchiefs. Even in crusades and various places, I hear, suppose there are 30 sick people in the meeting and at least 25 or 26 of them, 80 or 90%, are healed. Also from our branch church pastors, also we have many pastors in other countries. They pray with the handkerchiefs and heal them. And there are increasingly more pastors. So I'm so happy. It's happy to share. It's something happy to share the power of God with those who believe. So I'm so thankful that I can do that. So I'm so thankful to Apostle Paul. If we didn't have the record about this handkerchief, then we wouldn't have been able to do that. Or even if we did, people would criticize. Even now, some people criticize us. Oh, people are healed by handkerchief. Those who don't believe, they criticize this. How good is it? How good it is if somebody is healed by prayer? We make them have faith and lead a Christian life, and with such good things, they criticize these good things. They should also listen to this message about mercy. So I'm very happy and thankful that many more pastors and members are showing power of God with the handkerchiefs. Of course, showing the power is not the completion of the process of salvation. Even though they come to have faith by seeing the power, we have to care for them physically and spiritually until they stand firmly in faith. That is why I did my best to provide aid to the needy, even in our church itself had financial difficulties, so that they can march towards heaven with more strength. Proverbs 19:17 says, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." If you take care of the souls with the heart of the Lord, if you help the needy, have mercy on them, it is same as we are lending to God, so He can repay us. It is like God is borrowing from us. So how great blessing this is. So God will repay him for his good deed. What a blessing. If you take care of the souls with the heart of the Lord, God will certainly pay you back with his blessings. When the time comes, God will surely pay you back. If not now, If you are patient with faith, God will surely pay you back. We can see this even in the history. Those who are doing a lot of good deeds, a lot of good works, maybe several years later, or some couple of years later, they receive great help from a great person or something like that. I urge you to look around you with mercy and take care of others who are suffering from physical and spiritual pains. Third, if we have mercy, we will not easily point our fingers at others. Of course, if we love somebody, we sometimes have to give advice or rebuke him. If the parents do not scold their children at all, but forgive all the time just because they love their children, the children will be spoiled. But if we have mercy, we cannot easily punish, rebuke, or point out shortcomings. When we just give a word of advice, we will do it with prayerful mind and caring for that person's heart. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Especially pastors and leaders must keep these words in mind. You may easily say, you have this untruthful heart in you, and it doesn't please God. You have this and this shortcoming, and you are not loved by others because of these things. Even if what you say is true, if you point out shortcomings within your self-righteousness or frameworks without love, it doesn't give life. We always have church workers, about 20 of them, 30 of them around me when I arrive in the church. When I have to point out something, I just do it there. Whether elders or pastors, they are leaders of the church, and I point out their shortcomings right there. If I have to rebuke them, I have to do it because they won't have any misunderstandings or become offended or anything. Even if I do that, because I can do that because they have the faith to accept what I say. So they can look back on themselves and check themselves and try to change them, then it is a blessing for them. So I can point out their shortcomings because they are always coming to that place because they are not newcomers, new believers. They have the faith. They are leaders of the church. So I can directly point out their mistakes. I don't have to go around or anything. And they accept them well. So I can do it. So after some time, I can see that I feel that they are changing. So I'm thankful that they can accept my words. And I'm thankful that there are people who can accept my advice, direct advice. Some people are funny. They say, oh, please point out something if I am doing wrong. And if I begin, and if I start talking about something, they just stop me, and they begin to, if I do like one-third of them, if I speak like one-third of them, they just stop me and they begin to give excuses and they try to explain to me. And if you know it is you, I hope you will really, you can really repent. You don't accept anything. Those people don't listen to me until the end. I cannot continue my explanation. Even if the others will not change as a result of the advice, but their feelings will be hurt and they will become discouraged and lose strength. When the members line up, and when they're sick persons, it's not even rebuke, it's kind of a urging and advice. You have this and that, so why did you do that? And among them, there are first level, second level, and third level of faith. So maybe after a year or half a year, they write to me that they had the resentment that I rebuked them, even though I didn't rebuke them, because they cannot accept any word. And maybe after half a year or a year, they realize that they did something wrong and they write to me saying, sorry. And even new believers, I know that they own to stumble, even though they are new believers, if I say it. So that is why I'm doing it, because they will soon realize and they will repent. There are some people who really stumble, or those who have misunderstandings and leave the church. So this kind of thing should not happen. Sometimes some church members ask me to point out their shortcomings so they can realize them and change themselves. But I cannot do that easily. For that moment, they can accept it with thanks. But if they lose the fullness of spirit, nobody knows what will happen in their heart. Sometimes I have to point out something in order to accomplish the kingdom of God or to let you receive the solution to your problem. Even at those times, I have a really earnest heart. I watch the mood on their faces with prayerful mind, hoping they will not be offended or discouraged. Of course, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes with strong words, though they were not able to accept his advice, saying, "You brood of vipers, you hypocrites." Jesus was giving them a chance so that even just one among them might listen to him and repent. Also, because they were the teachers of the people, Jesus wanted the people to have realization and not be deceived by their hypocrisy. However, there won't be any occasion for me to do this with you here. When you interact with the little one, you should not reveal his fault in a manner that offends him or causes him to stumble. When you have to give advice because it is absolutely necessary, please do it with love, thinking from the other's viewpoint, and with care for their soul. Fourth, if we have mercy, we will be generous to everybody. Most people can generously give what they have to some extent to those whom they love. Even those who are stingy can lend or give presents to others if they know they can receive back something in return. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32, it says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" If you love only the people who love you, what credit is there? For even sinners love those who love them. Even sinners love those who love them. We can bear the fruit of mercy when we can give of ourselves without wanting anything in return. Jesus gave unlimited love, even to a person like Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew from the beginning that Judas would betray him, but he treated him in the same way he treated the other disciples. And he gave him many chances again and again, so he could come to repentance. Even when Jesus was being crucified, he prayed for those who were crucifying him. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 says, "Father, forgive them." Those who were criticizing him, slandering him, crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They didn't know they were committing such a grave sin. They didn't know how evil they were. But the Lord was praying for their forgiveness. The Lord was asking God to forgive them. This is the mercy with which we can forgive even those who cannot be forgiven at all. At the time of the early church, Stephen also had this fruit of mercy. While he was being stoned to death by evil people, he prayed for them. Acts chapter 7 verse 60 says, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice. Even while he was being stoned to death, he cried out with a loud voice on his knees. We have to pray to God on our knees, crying out with a loud voice. You can just pray, not really speaking out, crying out. God is watching us. And the Lord was watching him. The Lord was watching Stephen standing on the right hand of the throne of God. Stephen was watching the Lord with his spiritual eyes. Even yet, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Physically, he died. But in spirit, we say those who are saved are asleep. He prayed with true heart, not only for those who accepted the gospel, but also for those evil persons who are standing against the gospel and stoned him. The missionary who wrote to me from Canada, I think this is the answer. I didn't give the answer, but I think this is the answer. He was asking me, what do we do about this person who posted, who wrote many things on the internet criticizing us? And those evil persons who don't even know the truth, we don't have to argue with them. Why do you have to fight? We can just show mercy and forgive. That forgiveness and mercy, when they reach God, God will himself will work. Because he had this kind of heart, he performed the part of God being just a deacon. You have heard this kind of message many times. Then how well have you cultivated this kind of heart? Do you still have somebody you don't like? Or somebody who is not on good terms with you? You should not stay in this stage anymore. You should be able to accept and embrace others, even though your characters and opinions are not in agreement. You should first think from that person's viewpoint. Then you can change the feelings. If you just think, why on earth does he do that? I just can't understand him. Then you will only have hard feelings and you will have uncomfortable feelings when you see him. But if you can think, oh, in his position, he can act this way, then you can change the feelings of dislike. Now you will rather have mercy on that person who can't help but do that, and you will pray for him. As you change your thoughts and feelings this way, you have to pull out the hatred and other evil feelings one by one. If you keep the feelings that you want to insist on your stubbornness, you cannot accept others. Neither can you pull out the hatred or hard feelings in you. I urge you to cast away your self-righteousness and change your thoughts and feelings so that you can accept and serve any kind of person. If I say any word to you, even just passing by, I have the meaning in it, and if you can understand it, it'll be a blessing for you. Just coming up the stairs after the first morning service, I said to Pastor Chad, There is a pastor. There is Pastor Joe and Pastor Lim. They are. I hear many testimonies of them. They're praying with a handkerchief. How many people gathered and how many people were healed. And almost more than 90% of them are healed. Pastor Hagyong Lim, he was having a handkerchief crusade, handkerchief meeting, and he had it last week. And there were more than 20 some patient, sick people, and 19 of them are healed. So most of them are healed, if not 100%. And Pastor Che was there. So I said, I never heard testimony that you prayed and sick people were healed. Because she can accept anything. But why? Do you know why I said that? She is very bold. She can do it. She can heal many people with a handkerchief prayer. She has the boldness. And why not use that boldness? Make use of it. So not many, so the parish members, there won't be any sick person among the parish members. So in our parish, there can be only healthy persons. So it is such a good thing to share the job with me. The parish will have revival. Their families will be evangelized. They will give glory to God. And Pastor Choi will be even more brave. She'll have more power. It'll be all good. And I hope she understood what I meant. Fifth, if we have mercy, we can attribute the honor to others. When something is done well, we give the honor to others. And when something goes wrong, we can accept the blame. When the other person receives all the recognition and the other person is praised more, even though you worked together, you still can rejoice with him like it was your own happiness. You will not have any discomfort thinking you did more work and that person is praised even though he has many shortcomings. You will only be thankful thinking that he can have more confidence and work harder after being praised by others. You can understand this heart more easily if you think about a mother. If the mother does something with her child and only the child receives the reward, what would the mother feel? There wouldn't be any mother who'd complain, saying that she helped her child do the work properly and she didn't get any reward. Also, it is good for a mother to hear from others that she is beautiful. But she would be happier if people say her daughter is beautiful. Or if people say the mother is beautiful, but the daughter is not. Suppose some people say that. Would the mother be happy? It'd be a shock. If we have the fruit of mercy, we can put any other person ahead of us and attribute the merit to him, not only our own children. And we will rejoice together with him as if we ourselves were praised. Even in Korean history, there were people who attributed all the honor to other people, even though they did very well. And he's the one I respect the most among Koreans. Admiral Sun Shin Lee. He won the battles. And he attributed all the honor to another commander, Won-gyun. And this man, and Sun Shin Lee helped him even since they were children. And Sun Shin Lee helped them so much since they were young. When Sun Shin Lee became famous and got to the position, higher position, this man, Won-gyun, became jealous. And he disturbed Sun Shin Lee, and he did many bad things to disturb Sun Shin Lee's work. But still, he attributed many honors to Won-gyun. Mercy is the characteristic of God the Father, who is full of compassion and love. Not only mercy, but each of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is also the heart of the perfect God. Love, joy, peace, patience, and all other fruits are the different aspects of God's heart. Therefore, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit means we have to have the heart of God in us and be perfect as God is perfect. The more ripened the fruits become in you, God will not be able to hold His love for you because you are so lovely. I hope you will receive such love a lot. If I can share the love I receive from God with you, I just want to share it with you, but it cannot happen. If you can receive the kind of love that I receive, that is how I teach. That is how I preach. Some things I can share, something like the power of God by praying on the handkerchief, like the Apostle Paul. I'm thankful to him so much because we have the record about it in the Bible, so I can do the same. I pray on the handkerchiefs, so they carry the handkerchiefs to other places to pray for many sick people in crusades and meetings. And so many handkerchief crusades are being held in all over the world, and many people are getting healed, and the news is spread more and more. So many pastors want the handkerchiefs, which is prayed on. So many people are getting healed and they're giving glory to God. So I'm so thankful that I can share something like this. But the love that I receive from God, I cannot share it. So I'm always telling you the ways to receive such love. He will rejoice over you, saying you are sons and daughters who resemble Him so much. If you become God's children who please Him, what can be a problem in your life? You can receive anything you ask in prayer, and even the things that you just harbor in your heart, God knows it and answers you. I hope all of you will bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit completely and please God in all things. As I told you in the Sunday morning service too, we had the branch church pastors conference. I didn't even think about it. On Monday, from early morning, it began to snow. But there was no wind, so it could it could be piled up maybe 10 centimeters. And the whole ground, the mountains, is all white. just like we're going up to Jungfrau of Switzerland, and so the pastors from branch church, they must have been so happy to see such a beautiful scene in Sorak Mountain. The whole world was like covered with white snow. And the next day, the snow there was at the bottom, they were melted away, so we could see the leaves, yellow and red leaves. On the same day, they were saying, on the same day, they had both autumn and winter. They saw the colorful leaves and also the snow. So I'm always thankful. I'm so thankful that God always works that way. He gives us the best weather, best condition. Whatever we can like the most, God always gives us. So I'm so thankful to God. And it was like the quickest snow in 91 years. Some people say there's different things, but they say it was the quickest snow of the year in 91 years. I don't know which one is exact, but anyway, it already snowed in November 2nd. And we watched the snow, we saw the snow and the colorful leaves. And now the branch churches, the pastors said, many of them said they received confidence on their pastoral ministry. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be overflowing with blessings and enjoy great honor in the kingdom of heaven as children who resemble God exactly. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become faith and life. Let us all have the heart of mercy. Father, let us have the heart of mercy. Thank you. Let us have the heart of the Lord and the heart of God the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Father God, lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on all the churches, branch churches, local sanctuary members who are attending the service through satellite all over the country. All the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world. All GCN viewers and Mamin TV viewers. And they sent their photos from other countries. Pastor Kato Isao from Japan. He will have handkerchief crusade in Beppu Mamin Church on November 14th, Saturday. Let many sick people gather and let them receive healing and give glory to you, Father. Give revival in Beppu Mamin Church and give the power of creation to Pastor Kato Isao. Sean Hong Hui has after effects of surgery on the liver. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Zhang Jidong has disorder with intelligence and speech disorder and walking disorder. And his wife, Su Jin Peng, and son, Chen Chun Hui, also has a hyperactive disorder and lack of attention. And Do Zuping, let him get the loan back in and let him gain all the income that he's supposed to gain. properly, rijawin, let the phobia go away, and let the dark part of darkness go away. Light come. Give her confidence. Shi-ryang-yu, let his house be sold at a good price and let him receive blessings in the business. Father God, thank you. Give all the members spiritual and physical health. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the weak nerves be strengthened and let them hear well. And then let them see well. Low and high blood pressure go away. Diabetes go away. Anemia go away. Depression go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and go away. Autism go away. Last stage cancers. Third stage cancers go away. Lung diseases, internal diseases, all diseases in organs, all kinds of diseases go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All skin diseases go away. Be cleansed. All itchiness go away. Loosen all the paralysis. Drive away all kinds of herniated discs. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cold, cough, fever go away. Nasal troubles go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Swine flu, go away. Swine flu, go away. Transcending space and time, go away from all family members. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, heal them and cleanse them. Drive away even variations. Protect them with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, with the blazing eyes, all children, elderly people, all the church members, protect them from all swine flu. Father, thank you. Give them peace throughout this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.